Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make...
It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Hey, and welcome back to the Straight Shooter Recruiter. I'm Emily, a senior recruiter by day, podcaster by night, and then career coach on the weekends. And today's episode is like no other. I am seriously starstruck as I'm saying this, but today we have the Divya Gugnani, CEO of Wander Beauty, with us, and I am so freaking excited. I want to tell you a little bit about Divya because she is an unbelievably brilliant and kind and hilarious, but also entrepreneurial boss, so you need to hear a little bit about her journey. After earning her degree from Cornell and an MBA from Harvard, she began to pursue her career in investment banking and then later in venture capital and in private equity. But she ended up quitting her job in finance after selling her first business. And the rest is history. Divya was bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. After co-founding multiple companies afterward, having a children, and also being a hilarious all-around boss, she noticed a huge gap in the beauty space. And in comes Wander Beauty. Wander Beauty creates multitasking beauty for women in motion. It's cruelty-free, it's free of parabens and sulfates, all of the bad stuff. It has 30-plus beauty awards in less than 5 years. They're in Sephora, Net-a-Porter, Nordstrom, Birchbox. They're currently on my face. So make sure you check out Wander Beauty. Enjoy this episode because, oh my gosh, is it an amazing one. I have literally an icon. I feel as though I have an icon on the other side of my screen. Divya, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be with you.
Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how excited I am. Selfishly, when we started connecting about getting you on the show, you made it into every single one of my group chats. I was like, can you believe it? I'm wearing Wander Beauty as we speak. The Divya is speaking to me. I am so excited, not only selfishly, just so I can learn from you, but so many of our listeners are entrepreneurs, are people who are in really pivotal and transitional moments in their careers. And change is really scary. And I think what's particularly interesting about you is change is kind of your super power. Like, change is really like the wind beneath your wings. And I feel as though that's something I can learn a lot from, that our teams, you know, can all learn a lot from. So I'd love to kind of start from the beginning. So knowing that change is your superpower, and also knowing that you actually started your career in finance, I'd love to kind of know, how did that happen? How did you end up selecting a career in finance? And then at what point did you realize, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be an entrepreneur.
I really feel like, you know, I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I say that because, like, when you think of an entrepreneur, like, don't you think of a kid that you grew up with was like the best person to sell lemonade on the street and was like the hustler of the school? Like, I was never that kid. I don't know if you were. Like, you've got this bubbly, vivacious personality. Like, I feel like I was pretty shy and introverted growing up. And there was never a point where I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, until much, actually, it was my second company when I really feel like I voluntarily chose to be an entrepreneur. My very first business that I started was completely accidental. I was, you know, had a full-time job, was dating someone. We started a company together. It was like a nights and weekends type thing. The Wall Street Journal called it toe in the water, which is like where you kind of dip into entrepreneurship, but you're like not taking, you know, plunging in. And I learned so many lessons from that experience. I think it gave me the confidence, because that business was successful, to then go out on my own and actually do it. So I'm definitely accidental. And there was just the moment that I said I want to be an entrepreneur was once my first business actually that I'd started was successful. Then I was like, okay, now I'm ready to embrace this identity as an entrepreneur.
You know, for a lot of folks who listen, they're pretty early in their careers. We've got a bunch of folks who are really passionate about, you know, one particular, you know, field or one particular area of study. When you were initially starting out your career, did you ever consider the possibility that you'd be an entrepreneur? Or was it truly just like, oh, I suppose this is happening now?
You know, I definitely considered it and I definitely didn't want to do it. That's like the funniest part.
Interesting.
My dad is an entrepreneur. And so a lot of people aspire to be like their parents or they have these like strong role models around them. I actually feel like my experience was so different. My dad studied engineering. He still can't set an alarm clock, which is a separate issue, which we're still
dealing with that later.
We'll deal with that later. And he still types with two fingers, but that's sidebar. And then he ended up losing his job. He worked for the government. And then he started like importing tie-dye t-shirts and silver jewelry from India, which is where he's originally from. And so I looked at the life of, that my father led, and he was just, you know, he's a very big personality, and he lived a life of like excess because like we grew up in the 80s and there was just like, you know, everything bad was happening in the 80s, like drinking, smoking, gambling, like it was the era of excess. And so I just saw how like his entrepreneurial life had like so many ups and so many downs, and the highs were so high, the lows were so low. I felt the pain a little bit as a kid of like how intense it was and how money was like flowing and then dried up. And like, it didn't feel like a stable, normal upbringing to me. So actually as a child, I was like, I never want to be an entrepreneur. Like, why would I want to do that? Like, I want to have a job. I want to be a lawyer. Let me go to law school. Let me just like, you know, get married and have 2.2 kids and have a white picket fence. Like I dreamt of stability as an, like when I was a kid, my adult life that I envisioned was one of stability. Little did I know that I would just be a huge risk taker, an entrepreneur four times over. You know, entrepreneurs see things others don't see and they do things that others don't do. They take risks that are just, you know, bizarre in many ways. And I guess I now own the fact that I'm that person. I never thought I would be it, but I am.
That's amazing. And so actually a follow-up question to that. So do you feel like in your transition from, you know, not necessarily thinking of yourself as an entrepreneur to saying, yeah, this is what I'm made to do, do you think you've redefined what success looks like for you? Do you think you measure success 100%. And like prosperity differently? What does that look like now?
You know, it's so interesting. When you know, everybody has a different frame of reference from how they grew up, and the amount of money that makes one person happy is very different than the amount of money that makes a second person happy. And like, money was never my thing. Like so many people when I was growing up measured success by wealth. So if like my parents would see a family that like had a big house or went on nice vacations, they're like, oh, they're so wealthy. Like they're so happy. Like they're so successful. Like all of that success, money, and happiness seem to be like somewhat linked together. I'm actually like the total opposite. Money doesn't drive me. So when I took a job out of college, I took the lowest paying investment banking job because I was dying to work at Goldman Sachs because I wanted the experience. I wanted to go to the biggest, best bank with the smartest, brightest people that I could learn from and build a stepping stone to my career. So other banks that were offering me way more money, like, you know, that would have helped me in my comfort of my life. But I never equated money with happiness. It was always happiness comes from being fulfilled by what you do and who you are. And so my happiness really comes from being fulfilled by who I am and what I do.
Well, it's amazing too. They say, you know, don't chase money, chase your passion and the money will come. And I mean, is that not like the slogan for every entrepreneur? You find what makes you tick and what brings you joy. And that's really what you need to follow.
100%. And listen, part of being an entrepreneur also is losing money and living a very painful life and not having a salary and paying your team before yourself. Like, I don't want to glorify the amazing parts. Like, yes, I've sold two companies. Yes, that's been life-changing for me personally and for my family. But the reality is, like, I had a lot of really difficult times and struggled a tremendous amount, took a lot of risks, lost money along the way. And, you know, it's not without any of that that this, you know, the success happened too.
Well, I actually think that's the perfect segue because I'd love to know, I get so many people asking, how do I start a business? Where do I start? You know, what are things I should know? So, I mean, just as a word of caution, what are some of the big struggles you faced, especially early in your entrepreneurship journey? And maybe some things you learned the hard way that, you know, you'd love to not learn again.
Yeah, I think that the most important thing for me when you're starting a business is have a reason to start the business. A lot of people glorify this idea of being an entrepreneur. Like, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur because I want the Forbes article written about me. I want to be in the Wall Street Journal. I want to be like on this podcast and that podcast. And like the fame and the publicity around it is so tiny compared to the mountains of work it takes to actually run a company and build a business. So like, I think it's glamorized and glorified in certain ways. And like, I'm all about the hustle. I'm all about the work. There's so much that goes into it. I think that the early part of building a company is you really need to think through like, why am I building a company? And why am I uniquely positioned to build this company? What's the market opportunity? Is it a large market opportunity? What's my point of difference of starting a business? Do I have a product or service that doesn't exist in the market? How am I innovating? And so like when I was launching Wander Beauty, just like you mentioned, like what the launch of my business was like, particularly for this one in particular, I knew wanderbeauty.com was going to be the first place I wanted people to shop. I wanted to build a destination for women, time-starved women who are on the go, just like me, living their lives in motion, doing their makeup on the car, doing their skincare at the gym back when we used to actually go to the gym. And like,
remember leaving the house.
Yeah. I mean, like living our lives in motion is like, I always knew that I wanted a brand that was fuss-free, foolproof, do-it-yourself beauty, and that like didn't exist for me, and it was all clean beauty, and it was like things I'm going to reach for every day, cross-category. So many brands are like, I'm a skin brand, I'm a hair brand, I'm a nail brand, like I'm artistry, I'm 15 steps of this, I'm 10 steps of that. Like real women who live real busy, fulfilling lives and do whatever it is that they do that makes them happy every day are not spending more than 15 minutes on their beauty routine. So we created Wander Beauty to cater to those women, to give them clean beauty essentials, clean ingredients, skin-loving ingredients, working with your skin, not against it, cross-category, across skincare and color cosmetics and, you know, a little bit of hair and body, and things you're going to reach for every day wherever you wander. So, you know, your favorite foundation that's in a glass bottle, like, it doesn't go from, like, you know, desk to dinner. It doesn't go to take weekend trips. Like, we put it, you know, in a tube and put a built-in applicator. Like, we really thought about the customer experience of how are real women experiencing beauty in their real lives. Take those pain points, take those problems, and create a brand that is literally focused on, you know, those pain points and making the customer the hero and allowing them to, you know, build the trajectory going forward.
This is such valuable advice. If you're not taking notes, guys, now's the time. Please do it. Like now is the time to write those notes. So kind of building off of that, tell me about your aha moment for Wander Beauty. What was the moment where you woke up? Was it like a bad brow day or an I am not able to put on my makeup today because I'm running from point A to B? What was the moment that hit you like this doesn't exist and I need to bring it to life?
I was on the subway on my way to work, exhausted as usual, and put on my under eye concealer on the subway. And I looked around and I saw a woman putting on her mascara. I saw someone putting on their SPF. I saw someone brushing their hair and like putting in a ponytail. And I was like, oh my God, all these people are doing their beauty routine on the go. And like none of us have a brand that makes that easier for us.
And having used Wander Beauty, I can attest to that. I am such a makeup on my way to work kind of a person because who has time? If I can pick between my extra 15 minutes of sleep and having to, you know, slap some concealer on the go train, you better believe I'm doing a full face on the go train. Like that's really what's happening here. For your brand, I mean, of course, love the products, love what it stands for, but I love how much has happened in 5 years. Like you have really revolutionized the market in 5 short years. If you had to pick something that really stands out as a proud moment or a moment where you're like, wow, we really did this. Is there a moment that sticks out to you?
There's so many moments during this journey that have just been incredible. I think one of the things is like, you know, the Oscars of the beauty world is like the Allure Best of Beauty Awards. Mm-hmm. And like won 6 Allure Best of Beauty Awards. And like, I could have never imagined that 5 years into a brand without any PR agency, without anyone pushing our brand, without paying any celebrities, influencers, like we really were able to just win based on the true innovation of the products. Like our On the Glow Blush and Illuminator, it's double-sided. You can use it 20 different ways. You can go from, you know, looking kind of frazzled to polished and pretty in a minute and 30 seconds by using it on your eyes, lips, cheeks, face, and body. You know, our mascaras, that the fact that they're treatments and they're also great for your lashes and deliver incredible glossy back volume and curl. And, you know, they're in tubes, so they stay fresher and they just give you incredible long lashes that don't smudge or flake. And like just seeing that innovation, we innovated in the ingredients, we innovated in the packaging, we innovated in the delivery system, and that innovation winning these awards, it was just such a very, like, it was a pinch me moment.
The products speak for themselves. I think that's the biggest point. You always see these brands, you know, and no shade to other brands, but yeah. You might sometimes see brands on Instagram where it's like, oh my gosh, you are paying everyone and their cousin to promote this product. You no longer believe the product works, but Wander Beauty is one of those brands that, like, you see people talking about it because they genuinely use the product and they genuinely love the product. And I think that's such a standout. So, I mean, after you have this aha moment, you realize, you know, there is a huge market for this. What are your next steps? How does someone even start to think through, okay, I've got an idea, now what?
I think that the first thing is to really identify the market. Is it a large market opportunity? Identify the product or service you want to do. And then really, like, sense check it. Like, who's your target customer? Go out and do a survey. Go out and find 15 people who would actually potentially use your brand, product, or service. Do a focus group. Get some real data around, does this really need to exist? Because if it's just an iteration on someone else's idea, probably don't need to do it. Innovate, don't imitate. So really, like, go out there and innovate, do something different, and otherwise just don't do it, because it's just like, me too businesses don't make sense, and it's too much work to be an entrepreneur to just copy someone else. And so thinking through those pieces, it's like understanding that market, understanding the idea, understanding the opportunity. And why are you as an entrepreneur ready to build this business? What is it about your background that allows you to really share your knowledge with the community and build a brand?
That's huge. And the first thing I think about as you say that is, I can already anticipate people saying, well, I don't know what I bring to the table. And, you know, the imposter syndrome, she just jumps out, as she tends to do. And I think this is something we talk about so much, particularly with women in business, especially when I think about women of color in business, you know, the intense impacts of, you know, imposter syndrome on their experience. So I'd love to know, have you experienced imposter syndrome? And if you have, do you have the antidote? What did you do? Help us.
It's really interesting. Like, I don't, so I'm very different. Like, I don't believe in representing that I do things that I don't do. I don't believe in being someone I'm not. I'm pretty, like, just very open and honest about who I am and what my strengths and what my weaknesses are. And I just think that being self-aware is such an important skill, particularly as an entrepreneur. You have to make a checklist and say, I'm good at this, I'm not good at this. That's why I'm going to take this list. I'm going to hire the best people I know. We're going to bring in skills and expertise to my brand and make the pie bigger, make the opportunity bigger, and make me, like, take my vision of a company and turn it into a reality. So I'm not into fake it till you make it. I'm not into overrepresenting who I am and what I am. I just don't, that's just never been my DNA. I'm actually better at saying, like, hey, I'm really not good at these five things. Like, I really think that I could learn them better, and I'm always on a journey to learn. I say, like, it's better to be a learn-it-all than a know-it-all.
There's so much power in that too, because we get so hung up on this feeling of, you know, I'm not the smartest person in the room, but maybe that's a good thing. If you're the smartest person in the room, chances are you're in the wrong room. So I love that you've got this mindset of, you know, I just identified maybe what weren't my strong suits and either hired people who had those or built those capabilities myself. So I think that's great. And wow, it's almost like we planted that question. I promise we didn't, because that segues so well into a question that so many of my followers wanted to ask you. So knowing that you've grown, you know, not only, you know, Wander Beauty, but countless other companies in the past, they really wanted to know, what kind of skills and qualities have you looked for consistently in your partners, you know, in your first hires? What makes a person jump out and say, you need to be a part of this?
You know, I think the most basic thing is, like, you need honesty and transparency from people. And you really get that. It's like energy. Energy, honesty, transparency. It's so bizarre, but even early interactions, simple, small interactions with people tell you about who they are. Are they honest? Are they transparent? Do they have integrity? Like, these are just, you know, respect, integrity, teamwork. These are our values at Wander Beauty. And every single day we live and breathe those values. And so I feel so strongly that energy and connection. It's like chemistry with people. That's what makes people tick together well and work incredibly well together. So you can take a perfect resume and you could put it next to another perfect resume and you can stack it up next to another perfect resume and take three perfect people and try and start a business and say, oh, but I have all the skills and I check every box for every marketing. I've got an A+ marketing person. Finance, I have an A+. That doesn't matter. It's all about people who are hardworking, motivated, driven, and have great connections with each other and chemistry to drive a really outstanding result.
What is one piece of advice that you wish you received at the start of your entrepreneurship journey or even your career journey?
I just think that like not enough people understand this piece, but like you can look at all the data in the world. You can look at every number and make decisions like that. Ultimately, I wish people told me that my intuition and my gut is the best way to guide my business. Your morals, your ethics, your values, your intuition, your gut, that is what helps you make decisions. You can look at numbers all day long. You can listen to recommendations from people. You as an entrepreneur, when you want to build a brand and you want to build a business, you know the customer, you know your brand, you know your product better than anyone else in the world because you're the founder, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel so strongly that I have led a lot of decision making through my gut, but it took me many years of experience to actually trust my gut. I had all these gut feelings before when I was earlier in my career and I didn't act on them because I was too nervous or I didn't have the confidence or I didn't think I was smart enough or good enough to take risks. But as I got, you know, built my career and got more years of experience, I started really realizing the recipe for success is trusting your gut. If it doesn't feel right to you, it's not right for you.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make
that's like really truly what it is. And someone told me that many years later. I think I read it in a book somewhere and I was just like, that's 100% right. Like, you know how things feel. It's not about trying on a partnership or a revenue opportunity for size. It's like, does it feel right to you? When things feel right to you, then you just go and do it. When it doesn't feel right, just like don't force it. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it. Just like your intuition tells you what feels good.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. You hear so many stories of people, even just so funny. The other day I was talking to one of my girlfriends and she texted me, if she's listening, hello. And she was like, have you ever made a decision where you didn't listen to your gut and then regretted it immediately? And I was like, yeah. A couple times. And she's like, I just made a huge decision at work. Did not listen to my gut. It totally backfired. I wish I would have gone against, you know, the advice of other people and just listened to what my gut was telling me. And it's really such a powerful tool. Like there is something deep within us that just knows what's going to work and is just aligned to who we are. So I think that's a really awesome, very bold piece of experience that you kind of bring to the table because that takes a whole lot of practice. Is there anyone from a mentorship perspective or a career growth perspective that kind of helped you find these things out? Or are you one of those people who just had to learn by sometimes making mistakes? Because I know I'm often one of those people where I need to fall flat on my face to figure things out.
No, I have tons of mentors and I actually actively seek them out and have an incredible network of mentors. And I feel very strongly about having mentors. I like having people out there who can help me grow and build and who have been in different stages of their careers. One thing I will tell you what's really underrated is peer mentorship. I love to talk to people who are in a similar stage, similar business, similar size. It really allows me to understand how to build and grow. And so I love that. I love like peers. I love talking to people who are, you know, they Peer mentorship is just so underrated. I get some of my best advice from my peers.
That I've actually, it's so funny you say that because I've never thought about peer mentorship. For someone who preaches mentorship a whole lot, I always think about, you know, a level above, who's my, you know, who's my next boss is who I'm trying to network with. So I love that you call out your peers. Did those relationships form organically? Did you feel you had to kind of formalize them? Like, how did you build those relationships?
I'm always building relationships because I feel like I can always learn from other people who are doing things differently than me. And I may look at what they're doing and say, okay, well, that's not right for me. And so now I know that's not right for me because it doesn't feel right to me. Or I may look at what they're doing and say, dude, that's really smart. I wish I like did it that way. And so I have network a lot. I meet new people all the time. Every week I'm connecting with new people. Like the two of us met and, you know, we become friendly on Instagram. Like I love meeting new people. I have a huge thirst for knowledge and I feel like everything I learn is from other people. I like to talk to people more than I like to read about things on Google and in a book. Mm-hmm. I live for other people's, I learn through my own experiences, but I also learn a tremendous amount through other people's experiences. So I surround myself with other entrepreneurs, people also out of my industry. I think diversity of voices, diversity of opinions, diverse people who have different perspectives. So like when I look at the people I call, like, they're all just sort of really different from me because that allows me to see different sides of an issue or different ways to think about it other than my own.
Yes, and that is such another area of mentorship that is so underrated. It's people outside of your industry because to your point, that is where you get those diverse perspectives. I think so many aha moments have come from, you know, in my role connecting with engineers. So I'm like, you know what? I didn't think of it that way, but of course I didn't think of it that way. That's not my field. So having people who are in, you know, completely different industries doing different things, I mean, that's where the beauty comes from. So that's amazing. And on top of that, you are also someone who mentors quite frequently. So tell me about that. Was that just kind of an innate, you know, need to give back? Or was that, you know, where's kind of the root of that?
The root of that is that so many people opened doors for me and helped me and connected me with people and got on the phone with me at 11 o'clock at night and on weekends to help build experiences for me and help me grow my business and, you know, build connections for me. And so absolutely, I feel an incredible duty to do that for so many others. And so, and I continue to do it. And so I really believe that entrepreneurship is an ecosystem. Friendship is an ecosystem. And you need to give into the community to get out from the community.
I couldn't agree with that more. I think that's so amazing. So one of the other things, goodness, and this is no surprise we got this question about 1,000 times. I did a bit of an Instagram poll, goodness, a couple of weeks back. And when I tell you thousands of people ask this question, I really mean it. Everyone wants to know how. How do you juggle all of the things that you juggle? You are a CEO, a mama, you are a boss. There are so many things you're doing. How do you do it all? And also, do you sleep?
I will be honest with you. I don't sleep that well. Like I wish I did.
Understandable.
I think sleep is super important. I think sleep is very important. I value sleep. I sleep a lot on the weekend. I feel like during the week, I'm very busy and I have a very packed schedule. I prioritize maniacally. I'm a time blocker. Like the time I'm with my children, I'm with my children. I'm not on my phone. I'm not taking phone calls. I'm not on Zoom. I'm not like texting on my cell. Like I'm with my family. Mm-hmm. That is time with the family. When I'm working, I'm with you. I'm present. I'm on this podcast. I'm not doing anything else but connecting with you. We are having a one-on-one conversation. We are connecting with each other. I'm not texting on my phone. I'm not emailing. I'm not talking to my children. Like I just feel that in order for me to achieve everything I want to achieve in a day, I need to block out time and I need to prioritize what needs to get done. And I can't get it all done. I really believe that, you know, there's a lot you can achieve, but you have to be patient and you have to do it in stages. So there were definitely moments in my career where I was growing tremendously and learning tremendously and networking tremendously, and other times where I had to be more inward focusing and work on some issues and work on myself and work on my family relationships. And so maybe I wasn't meeting as many people during that time. Everything in your life is an investment. You know, good skin is an investment. Mm-hmm. You got to invest in your skin and your skincare routine and you be consistent in what you give to it comes out. And so like you reap the rewards of the work that you do. And with my family, relationships are the same thing. And so I love my children. I love my husband. I spend a lot of quality time with them, particularly on weekends. When I work with a tremendous amount of intensity. And I'm, as you know, like I'm super busy. I get up really early. I have full days. I take meetings all the way till 8, 9, 10 o'clock. Like it just like, you know, I have breaks to be with my family or eat dinner, but I really just, I get a lot done in a day, and I'm a worker. I love it. It's just who I am. I can't change who I am. And that's just like how I live my life with so much intensity, and I really enjoy it. I wouldn't do it any other way.
Okay. So I have to ask you, what is your horoscope?
I'm a Virgo.
Okay. I'm going to say.
I'm a quintessential Virgo.
I was just going to say.
Detail oriented, very loyal, like trustworthy, human. It's just like, I am a textbook Virgo, attention to detail. My lists have lists. Everything is like systemized and organized. And that's just like how I think that structure helps me live my life. And like I mentioned, I block time. Like I meditate twice a day. I block time for that. Like I need to exercise. I don't feel good about myself unless I exercise. Mm-hmm. I don't sleep well at night if I don't exercise. So I make sure I get a little bit of exercise in. I'm not great at going to the gym and doing long workouts, but like my mom calls it, she laughs. Like I do exercise snacking. It's like I snack.
Tell me everything.
I like exercise for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Like it's really funny, but like I build breaks in. I need it.
Yeah, you have
to. So like when I'm home, I was actually with my parents and I like get on the exercise bike and like I do like 10 minutes or I do like 5 minutes or 7 minutes. I like do it multiple times a day. And like I know that it's better for your body to have your heart rate up for a prolonged period of time to like burn fat and for cardiovascular health. And I do longer workouts sometimes, but I'd rather do a little something than nothing. And it actually like revs me up and builds energy during the day. It helps me think better. It helps me get any sort of like negativity or frustration out of my system. And then I can be positive and focused on what I'm doing next. I have weights. I have free weights at my desk. I have free weights at home. I do a lot of exercise snacking.
I love that.
I'm a little crazy.
That's funny.
Just what it is.
Are you obligated to wear flat shoes at all times just in case you decide to, hop into a quick burpee in between meetings?
I'm big into sneakers. I'm going to admit I wear a lot of sneakers.
I can't judge you. I wish you could see my feet, right? Actually, I'm happy you can't. I'm in fuzzy black and white slippers. So this is a very questionable look below the knees.
Okay.
That's so funny. But I love what you're saying too about being present, because I think for type A, and stop me if I'm wrong, but you sound a little type A. And I love that you're a type A personality, because that's how I am too. It's like everything is hyper-organized, even downtime has to be organized or it doesn't happen. But I think what so many people can struggle with at times, especially when you're a busy overachiever, is how do you genuinely unplug and, emotionally detach when you are choosing to take breaks? So do you find that transition to be hard from, I am working or I'm with my kids? Like, how do you handle that transition, or has that ever been, difficult for you?
I just do it. Like, I'm just like, now is the time. Like when I can take a shower and no one can bother me, I'm like the happiest human. I need the warm shower to like feel so relaxing. And like, I really enjoy no one interrupting me and like a train of thought. I love to swim. When I would swim pre-COVID, I would just like be in the pool and be with my thoughts. I do my best thinking in the pool. I just like, there's so much, it's a time of creativity for me. I love to take long walks. I love to just look around and be inspired by what's around me, whether it's people and cityscapes or nature. Like, I take a lot of inspiration from my walks. And, when I go to a city, what do? I take sneakers with me and I love to walk the city.
That's awesome.
To get a feel for the culture and the people. It's just like, that's the kind of person I am. I draw a lot of inspiration from what's around me.
I think that's amazing. And it sounds a lot like that's how you stay innovating. Because Wander Beauty has not been stagnant for more than a second. Like the second you have one product out, I would imagine you're, what's next? How do we improve it? Like, how do we adapt to the working woman? So where do you keep finding this inspiration? Do you keep kind of looking at, friends or yourself, or is it kind of moments that just hit you? Like, how does this beautiful idea come to life?
It's all from the community. We've built an incredible community of people, and we have been so connected with them in a deep way. We do focus groups. We do surveys. We do text message surveys. We built connectivity with our community, and they have been so incredible in forming our roadmap for product development, for telling us what to make next, how to fix what we've made already. What can we do better? It's like, listening is a key skill that you need to develop as an entrepreneur. And you listen a lot. You listen with two ears and you speak with one mouth.
So many listeners also ask what your experience has been like as a powerful woman. Have there been obstacles that come to mind either in your own ventures or, working at other organizations that have impacted you or kind of changed the way that you operate?
So I've had a lot of obstacles, and I really believe that, you know, being a female entrepreneur, women get less than 2% of funding that goes to, you know, entrepreneurs. In terms of venture funding, being a woman of color, we get 0.6%, I think, of funding that's in the market. I think that there's definitely biases out there. We have to be the change we want to see in the world. We need more women investors in this market, writing checks to support female-led businesses, and women who really understand the pain points that other women are going through and support entrepreneurs who are solving those pain points. I really believe that, like, that's what it's about. You know, that to me is really, you know, what we need to do.
That's amazing. And this is your sign, everyone who's listening, to go support a women-owned business. Because, yes, like you said, we are the change. And it's so critical that we're supporting, you know, those businesses. Even if you're not in a position to invest in companies, me looking at myself, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be.
Shop with your wallet.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, put your, what is that saying? Put your money where your, money where your mouth is. That's what it is.
So, what we need to do as, you know, responsible adults is, like, support brands that you believe in, whether they're female-led or they're not female-led, or whether they're indie brands. Like, I really, you know, your mission, vision, values should align with the brands that you shop and buy.
You know, especially in 2020, we saw so many companies be extremely performative with what they care about, mm-hmm. Or their mission and vision and values is just something they slap on their job description. But companies have the ability to walk the walk, as you know, as well as talk the talk. And those are really the organizations, yeah, you know, that should be getting our support, because there's a lot of outstanding companies that do the right thing and deliver awesome products and experiences. So that's amazing. One of the other questions that is super highly requested, and it's also one I'm, like, itching to know a little bit more about, is there anything that, you know, still worries you or makes you, you know, insecure in the entrepreneurship space now? Do you ever wake up and say, like, I don't know what I'm doing, how do I tackle this? And what do you do to overcome that self-doubt that you might have at times?
I have self-doubt all the time. There are a million problems that I tackle every day that I don't know how to solve, and I lean into my team to help guide me and tell me what they think is right. I lean into experts who've seen the problem before or had an issue, mentors, peer mentors, you know, peers that are just, like, you know, friends that can really give perspective. That's what I do. I mean, every day you have problems and challenges, and being an entrepreneur is just overcoming obstacles 24/7. Just get ready for that. Like, that's genuinely what the job is like. Like, one day everything's, like, you'll have an amazing day and things will go all right, and the next day everything will go completely wrong. And, you know, shipments get stuck, and delays happen, and freight logistics get complicated, and regulatory requirements for beauty products get changed. Like, there's just, where we live in an ever-changing, fast-paced environment, and the reality is that we just have to, you know, work around it. And, you know, investing in good relationships that help you build and guide you to help grow your business, that's what you need to do.
That's amazing. Even hearing you just talk about the laundry list of things that can go wrong, I'm secondhand stressed for you. How do you decompress? So you spend time with family. Like, what does your ideal self-care Sunday look like?
So self-care for me is so many things. Like, I actually like to exercise a little bit because I just feel like it relaxes me. So and I'm not, like, crazy. Like, sometimes I'll do a HIIT workout streaming on Obe Fitness, or I'll ride the bike, or I'll go outside and take a really long walk. So some sort of fitness is self-care for me. Mental self-care is, like, doing my meditation, having some alone time. I love doing puzzles with my daughter. That's great. Like, so it's just fun. A bonding moment. We do a lot of puzzles on the weekends. And it's just, like, problem solving, but, like, being together, but being creative. We love to cook together. That self-care for me in many ways is cooking. I love to cook. I know on my Instagram I'm at D Gugnani, DGUGNANI. I'm always talking about, like, things that I make at home, and I went to culinary school, so I love to cook for my family. I love to experiment with them at home. That bit of creativity is, you know, it feeds my soul. So that is self-care. I mean, obviously, I'm huge into Sunday self-care when it comes to my skin. Sunday's like my skincare routine. I'm like, what terrible things did I do to my skin this week, and how am I gonna, you know, invest in my skin this weekend? So on Sundays, I always do a really great hydrating mask, our staycation mask. I do my Baggage Claim Gold eye patches. I decompress. I relax. I put on a nice candle and I watch Netflix.
Oh, I love that. What are you watching on Netflix right now?
So many things.
Me too.
We have a whole Slack channel at work with all my Netflix selections. I just finished a serial on Netflix. Is it Lupin? Lupin?
Oh, I heard that's outstanding. I haven't watched it yet, though. Everyone I've spoken to said it's like out of this world.
It was really good. I really like it. I watch a lot of shows in Spanish because I speak Spanish and I like to just stay fresh with the language. So I watch Monarca, which is great, and a lot of other, you know, shows to kind of, then I'm like stimulating my brain and listening to a different language and also relaxing at the same time.
Still productive. You still have to find a way to be
Still
productive.
productive.
I love that. My go-to TV, I wish I could say I was above the Real Housewives franchise, but I'm simply not. I'm simply not above
Do
it.
it,
It's
do
so
it, do what
good.
makes you feel happy.
It's so
Do what
passionate,
feels
so
good.
good. Exactly. This is me listening to my intuition, and it is telling me that the Real Housewives of Atlanta is exactly where I'm supposed to be. One of my last questions for you. Where do you see yourself at, you know, over the next few years, whether that's you with Wander or you as an individual? I mean, I feel as though, like I said, your superpower really is change. What change do you anticipate hitting you know, over the next few years?
I think there's so much work to do. I think building our business here in the US, building the community is so important. I think building our direct relationship via wanderbeauty.com is very important. We're doing a lot of international expansion and we'll continue to build our reach internationally. And I will, we have a lot of exciting new promising opportunities on that side. And then also just category and product innovation. Like we're building way more skincare because we're seeing people really leaning into it. When you buy Wander Beauty skincare, you know it's minimum effort, maximum results. Every formulation is really incredible benefits that deliver results. Like, why do you buy, moisturizer from Wander Beauty when you can buy it from so many other brands? Because our Dive-In moisturizer has 1% Pendavitin and it's going to lock in moisture for 72 hours.
That's great.
And so it's like, if I'm going to buy a moisturizer, I want to spend money on it. I want it to actually do something.
Yes.
I don't want a bunch of marketing ingredients. I want something with results. And so overnight, when I sleep and my skin is repairing itself and rejuvenating, I want to use an overnight concentrate from Wonder Beauty, the Do Not Disturb. It's a 1% retinoid, which is going to fundamentally change the texture and appearance of your skin. And so I really believe that we invest in formulations that deliver results. And so I'm excited to do a lot more of that.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited to try it because there is a difference when it comes to good skincare. To your point, all of those marketing fillers, there is skincare that's great for, you know, marketing and commercials, and then there's skincare that's actually made for your skin. And the second you've tried it, trust me, there is a difference. Your skin will thank you later, or it will be very angry at you 20, 30 years down the line. And I'm not willing to find out. I'll tell you that right now. Like,
You
not
are
I.
right. You're absolutely right.
Not I. Oh my gosh. Well, Divya, I can't thank you enough. I honestly have had so much fun getting to know you better. Your career journey is just all kinds of inspiring. I can only imagine how proud your kids must be looking up to such a boss mom, like truly the definition of boss mom. I can't wait to work for your children at some point because I'm sure that will be en route.
You know, they're so funny. They like make so many jokes at home, and it's like, my daughter was in the shower, yesterday, and I was on a call, and I like just popped in on her, and I'm like, "Hey," I'm like, "Did you wash your hair and your body?" And she's like, "Mom, you were on a call, and I didn't want to interrupt, and like it's up on the shelf, and I can't reach it, so I was just waiting for you." She
Oh
was
my
like waiting
gosh.
for me to pass her the shampoo, and I passed it to her, and she's like, "Mom," she's like, "It's very tough being a CEO." Like she says stuff like that to me, and I just like I melt, I die. I think it's
Oh
so
my
funny. You
gosh.
know, once my son said to me when I was when I was leaving the house, and he's like, "Mom," he's like, "Can you do me a favor?" I was like, "What?" He's like, "Can you check your calendar and see if you can drop me to school tomorrow?" Because I'm always like, he's like, "Can you drop me to school?" And I'm like, "Oh, let me check my calendar." Like, so he's like, "Mom, can you check your calendar and let me know if you can drop me to
That
school?"
is so cute, but also like
So
living proof they're going to be CEOs by the time they're
there's just,
12.
my son emails me and he texts me, and then sometimes he doesn't read emails or texts and responds. And I was like, rule number one for business, please read before responding. And I just I'm trying to teach him basic lessons that I think an 8-year-old should know
I
for his
mean,
future life.
30-year-old him will be thanking you because there are many a thing I learned, you know, very much the hard way. And emails was one of them. I mean, you will never forget the first time that you reply all to an email that you had no business replying all to. Those are life changers. Like, you have to have those learned experiences. If they come at the age of 8, all the power to you. Like, I'm jealous of his situation. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much. I honestly had such an amazing time, and I know this is going to be such a high value episode for the listeners, so I cannot thank you enough for hanging out with me for a little bit.
Thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Here in Key West, we were out before it was in. In this open and inclusive paradise, you can be yourself, make new friends, and savor our live and let live vibe. With LGBTQ+ friendly accommodations, our legendary nightlife, and year-round activities and events, it's always a good time to come as you are. Key West, close to perfect, far from normal.